The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. I thought to read for the topic of my sermon from the prophet Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 6 until verse 9. And these words are heard, read in Jesus' name. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. This text portion that I read, it is, we could say, very old. The prophet Micah was affecting 600 or 700 years before Christ. The prophet Micah was also at the same time as another well-known prophet, Isaiah. And so these two prophets, they have much to say together. They have spoken with the same words of Jesus Christ. These prophets, they were placed in the midst of the people. God had placed them himself there. When we remember Jeremiah, of him it is said, even before I formed thee in thy mother's womb, I sanctified thee. And before thou wert born, I placed you, I set you as the prophet of the people. Here we can see that these prophets, they were tools or weapons of God, and God had given them a duty. Their duty was to be in the midst of their people, to proclaim there the proclamation of the coming Savior, and to rebuke them when it was necessary. For sin was very powerfully there, we could say. In the beginning of the other chapter, it said that Micah is rebuking the people for being greedy, for being hard-hearted towards the preachers. And then there comes one important matter. The prophet Micah does not just rebuke the nation or the people, but he also comforts them. As it also says here, He comforts the people with promises of Christ. And it says here later, Micah says, and the Lord himself will be their king on Mount Zion from this time on to eternity. So the prophet Micah had the Holy Spirit enlighten these matters to him, and we can remember how he was a prophet that also prophesied of the town where Jesus was born, Bethlehem. There, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was to be born. Then in this text portion that I read, Micah begins to talk, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? We do not know, is Micah talking about himself, or is he talking on behalf of all the people? I would think that his thoughts are those people, and especially them who did not believe. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Micah is thinking that if he could come before the Lord and bow down to the ground before God to show humbleness, as if he would be showing his humbleness before God. But again he says, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old, to give sacrifices? But even this is not acceptable to God. And even as a third, he has, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Not even that is acceptable to God. And lastly, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So, should we sacrifice our own son for our own sins, that have been done before God? Does God demand such sacrifices from people? We must think of this time. There are many of those who think that when I endeavor to do many works, then surely God will be pleased with my works, and he will take me as his child, and I will receive my sins forgiven in this way, that I would endeavor to do his will. But, dear travel friends and dear listeners, it is not so even today. God is not pleased with our works. He does not look upon them with goodness, that we would through, and we do not become children of God through these works. We do not become redeemed or acceptable to heaven. For this reason, here Micah continues, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, or in Finnish says, to keep the word of God. This word of God John writes in the beginning of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he later says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. When a person, when the first human couple fell into sin, there in the beginning in paradise, then God wished to correct this fall into sin. And for this reason, He sent His Son here into this world to suffer on the cross because of our sins. And this word, this was proclaimed by the gospel. This gospel is proclaimed by the prophets as they promised word. They promised that Christ was to come, and they believed in this promise word. Many times we think that how did these people of the Old Testament believe? But they believed, we could say, exactly the same way as we believe today. They believed only onto the promised Jesus Christ that God was to send. That the Holy Spirit testified unto them in many places that so it will happen. And we people of this day, in other words, children of God, we believe in, as that it has happened, as a true matter. Jesus Christ has come into this world, sent by through the love of God. In this way, God showed us His love to His children of the earth, a sinful children. But how is this word then heard, and how has it been gone forth in this world? Here, this the poem writer says in the Song of Zion in this way, over the holy word of God, the poor people are sent, are led, all promised He will take with. The enlightener of the word has the time of spirit given. Just think of these words. How in this time, this word of God, it is seen to be so small. Much is spoken in this world, that the Bible is old. It is not necessary for us in this time to study it. It is written for the people of those times. But yet, when we read these writings, and we see that these are surely written also for our time, these writings, very timely. And for this reason, this Holy Bible, it is also as our text Bible, always before us. From this we read these texts, but not just so that we would read it as service sermon texts, but it is important that all people would read and would become familiar with the saying of the Bible. In the Bible there is yet said of our way and our journey. There it is said in what way we become children of God, and how then one time we will make it to the glory in heaven. For this reason it is necessary that we would read and study the Bible. It is the Word of God. It is also said of the Bible that it is just been written by other humans or people. This is definitely true. These prophets have written it, but the Holy Spirit has worked through them and given them, enlightened them, on the basis of which they have written this. And now this Word, it became flesh and lives in our midst, Jesus Christ. Even today, He is here in our midst, as He said, that I am every day in your midst. So now it is said that you would keep the Word of God. What does this mean? It means this, that we would listen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by and through the Word of God. So it is written in the letter to the Romans. So first of all, we must be listening to this proclamation, and through this hearing, we heard it spoken, the good message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And through this, faith is kindled in our hearts. And so it happened in the house of Cornelius. There Peter spoke to the listeners. He said that God awoke on the third day and proclaimed him, not to all people, rather to us, who God had chosen before as witnesses, we who had eaten and drank with him. And then when he rose from the dead, and he commanded us to preach and to testify to the people that he is that who has been sent to judge the living and the dead. and after this, miraculous matters happened. The Bible tells us that Peter, even as Peter was talking, the Holy Spirit descended onto the listeners. These listeners believed this proclamation that Peter spoke there. And so they became believers. Just think, this Cornelius, even a centurion, a Roman, he wanted to hear of Jesus. He wished even that Peter was welcome into his home, saying that we wish to hear that which God has to say to us through you. They did not come to listen to Peter. Rather, that which Peter, or that which God had to say through Peter. And so it has always been, and it always is, that the will of God, God's will, wishes to proclaim His holy word in the midst of this world. And now this word, it has traveled in the midst of this world, and it has come here into the northern lands, into the midst of even our people, our nation. And when we look from this side of the New Testament, there we see how those who have testified before, of which Peter talked of, they went out to go and proclaim this proclamation of the gospel. John says in his epistle, that which we have seen and heard, that wish to proclaim unto you, that you also would have be able to partake with us and our part is that of with God and with His Son Jesus Christ. John had been a very dear disciple to Jesus, a near one, and he wished to carry this word, this, so that others would also receive Christ to live in their hearts, so they would have communion with them. And our communion is with Jesus Christ and with God and His Son Jesus Christ. When one accepts this gospel, then one becomes a partaker of exactly this which John speaks. And so these disciples, you all remember those happenings of the Pentecost, how these scared and meek disciples, they received the power of the Holy Spirit, and going securely in this power, they left into the midst of the world, into all the world, first to Jerusalem, and so on, and then into all the world. And this word of the gospel, it has traveled from one country to another, even unto this day. And we also know this, that the word of God shall never drown. It shall be for everlasting. This world will one day die away, but the word of God shall always be in power. when we preach this gospel, the central portion of which is the forgiveness of sins, then we, even today, have many times heard said in this way, "Dear listener, you can believe all your sins, your doubts, even your unbelief forgiven in Jesus' name, in precious atonement blood." I always remember how the old brothers spoke of this and said, "Even all the way to the walls you can believe." This meant this, that we did not ask that, "What have you done?" Rather, you can there, even to where you are sitting, and even at this moment, believe your own sins forgiven. Isn't it a precious matter? But this happens alone by grace. By grace, you are made righteous, but through faith, not of your works. It is a gift of God. God gives this grace gift to people, as we already earlier spoke, without our own works or deeds, not of yourselves, lest any one should boast. Isn't it a precious matter that by grace we can accept this faith, this gift of faith? Nothing is required of us. God has given it to us. Now this gospel, the disciples went and left to proclaim, and this faith has traveled from faith to faith in this world. And so it is proclaimed today, even in our midst, in our services. And it still says here, and to practice love. What does this mean? To practice love. Love, it is the first fruit of faith. There is love. That not that we loved God, rather that God loved us and sent his Son as atonement on behalf of our sins. Much is spoken of love in this world, and yet that love of which we speak, it is from heaven. It is that love that has been sent by God that we feel. But we do not know how to love God first. Rather, He first loved us. His sin-fallen, created child. Now in the Bible it is said also this love, that you should love your Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your power, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is the dual commandment of love. And in this is there is much, dear travel friend. First, it is important that we love God. But the other is this, that as it is as said, that you'd love your neighbor as yourself. Well, which of us can hate ourselves? We are so poor. We must say that we love ourselves. But yet, we must say that we must love our neighbors. And who is our neighbor? It is another. Child created by God here on this earth. We have been commanded to love all people here on this earth. Of this also the Bible speaks. So as we have time, let us do good unto all. Do good unto all. But yet, above all, to those who are brothers along with us in faith. We should love all people here on this earth. Sometimes this may seem difficult. Jesus encourages also to love your enemies. And that seems almost overpowering sometimes. So the Bible tells us. And I have many times thought of this. You are here, you fathers and mothers, whose children have given up their faith. How difficult it is in the beginning. I say in the beginning. This kind of a child to love. But yet the Heavenly Father has given even for this strength and wisdom, so that if we understood this, in which what way we should call them back into the kingdom of God, unless we do not do it by loving them and by and talking to them about this most precious matter. So many times we feel our own lacking. We feel sorrow for this reason. But be, dear brother and my brother and sister, secure in this, the Heavenly Father takes care of us. And he even gives, even those failings, he forgives them. In Jesus' name, in atonement blood. This love, it is such a matter that does its work also through us. In the spirit of love, also talk to those who are not partakers of this faith. We also have reason to love them. They are also created of God, by God, and our desire is that one day all would be able to go to the home in heaven. And then as a third matter, it is said, and be humble, humbly walk with thy God. What does this humbleness mean? It doesn't mean to be humble, or I would understand it in this way, that we would be obedient to the word of God, that we would not cause offense to the mind of God. But dear travel friends, we are not capable of this. We are sinful people that yet God loves. For this reason, even this moment, this afternoon, each one of you can believe your sins, temptations, and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name, in atonement blood. And so, securely remain living in God's kingdom, and keep in your hearts that hope that one day I will also make it to that glory home in heaven. So we remain making this journey, putting sin away from our consciences. Jesus said in his farewell sermon, "These I have spoken unto you," he dearly spoke there to his disciples, that you would have peace in me. You have sorrows in the world, but remain securely believing, I have won the world. In Jesus' name, amen.